So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Never gets old. 720 WGN, John Landecker at 736. That's Nancy Faust on the organ back in the day at Comiskey Park doing the na-na hey-hey. And that's Nancy Faust on the phone, I hope.
That's me, John, and you never get old either. I'd like to think that at least because I think we're the same age.
You know, the last time we saw each other was about, I don't know, 35, 40 years ago. That's exactly what I look like now, by the way, in case you were wondering.
I'm really flattered that you recall.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
okay,
thanks,
John. Hold on a second, Nancy. Don't you remember there was a couple of things? First of all, there was once I was working at this radio station. Wouldn't have to mention who because there were so many of them.
And I think we all know.
No, this is a different one.
Oh, okay.
You were on with Dennis DeYoung, and you were on one phone line, and he was on the other, and you guys went back and forth playing keyboards. Do you remember that?
I do. Well, now that you mention it, I do. Yeah, that was pretty great.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I've forgotten. Yeah, I'm glad you're reminding me about these things.
Well, you know,
Thank you. Dennis DeYoung.
Yeah. And then there was another time when I was doing a morning show, I believe we carted in a gigantic organ that wouldn't fit into the studio and had you out in the hallway with a mic. Do you remember that?
Yes, I do. That was my husband that actually brought the organ, but we didn't tell people that in those days.
Right. Yeah. Of course, right.
But yes, I do recall, and I think Joe was telling me that, and I didn't recall, but now I do. Okay,
yes.
Now that you tell me about leaving it in the hallway.
Hallway.
Yeah.
Well, it couldn't get through the door. You know, I haven't thought about these things in ages, but I've always wanted to get you on, and there is this, you know, everybody's doing the anniversary of this, the anniversary of that, and I ran across an ESPN article that's titled, How Nancy Faust and Her Organ Set the Tone for America's Pastime.
That was a well-written article.
How do you like that? How do you like that? I mean,
that's fantastic. It's like you don't realize things until 30 years later, and you think, I made an impact.
And then,
at the time, I was just doing my job.
Right. And then I read a bunch of things that I did not know. You came to Comiskey Park in 1970, and the White Sox lost a team record 106 games. Attendance
it was a great
was
year to break in. I'm sorry.
Attendance was an all-time low. Two September games drew only 672 and 693 fans. And then, if that wasn't bad enough, you were getting grief because you were a woman employed at a ballpark. I never heard
all
that.
All of that. All of the above.
I never heard that story.
Well, that is the truth. There was a petition circulated saying that perhaps a man should be doing the job because he'd have a better understanding of the game. And there was probably some truth to that.
No, it's not.
I had really only attended one baseball game my whole life. My parents weren't sports-oriented. Neither was
I. Right.
But I had the ability to play any song that I heard on the radio. Any song you played, I could do.
Right.
That's why I had to listen to you to make sure I was keeping up to date.
Do you read music now, or have you never learned to read music?
Oh, I've attempted, but I just can never learn to sight read.
Right.
My brain doesn't work that way.
But on the other hand, you could hear a medley for 10 seconds on the phone and then immediately start playing it.
Sure, if you hum it soon right now, I could just sit down and play it. I'd probably forget tomorrow how that went. But
right,
yeah,
but still.
I could do it right away. And the only way I could learn the song really was to hear it about 50 times, and then it would be there forever.
Well, I was interested in this article, too. I didn't know that your mother was a musician and worked around Chicago doing various appearances for who knows what.
She really wasn't the highlight, but she would accompany numerous musical acts. You know, when the Lawrence Welk people would come to town, she would be accompaniment, or any vaudeville type acts. She provided music at conventions and dinners the days before canned music took over. When live music was king, she was very busy. She was very talented.
The barn dance, I read, open vaudeville acts, banquets, receptions.
Yeah, she was on the WLS Barn Dance Daily.
Yeah,
she could read anything and provide backup for any singers or transpose and all that good stuff, as well as perfect pitch. So she was the whole package. I inherited her ear, and that's all.
Yeah, and with this as part of your home life. You were, I'm guessing, intrigued at least by performing on the keyboards or on an organ.
My folks bought the big organ, the B3 Hammond B3, in the early 50s when I was about 4 years old, and it did capture my fancy. And it was just at a good time in my life. You know, there was no social media or anything like that to distract me. No computer games. I was fascinated by it, and they realized they had a pretty good ear for picking up simple melodies, and I just kept improving, I guess, until I was good enough to fill in for my mom when I was in high school.
You know,
she couldn't make a job. Yeah,
the iconic Nancy Faust stories that everybody loves because they've been to Comiskey Park and came up to you, and you were accessible next to the organ. Boy, these early stories, if it wasn't for this article, I never would have heard about these men trying to get you banned from the ballpark because that's something that a man should be doing. wow. Try that today, my friends.
It was a tough beginning, and, you know, very first game, the PA system was not good there, and when the fans were asked to stand for a moment of silence, I thought I was anxious, and I whipped into the national anthem. So I had started out on a sour note, but like you said, there weren't many people there. And in fact, if we could draw a crowd of 5,000 or 6,000 and lose, it was really a sad thing because that was our opportunity to look good.
Yeah,
it was
a
good time for me to break in, really. Wonderful.
I mean, the article said those two September games had 672 people in the stands, and the other had 693.
That's true. And those 600 fans really kind of loved it, I think, because they had the park to themselves and they were all over and yelling. And so it was kind of fun for them, but not so for the owner, John Allen.
We're going to do more with the wonderful Nancy Faust when we come back on 720 WGN. It never gets old. Nancy Faust and on the organ, Comiskey Park. Hey. Kissing goodbye. Nancy Faust on the phone with John Landecker, and also calling in is Lydia. Good evening, Lydia. Welcome to WGN.
Hi, John.
Hi.
Thank you. I just had a call and say hi to Nancy. Nancy, it's Lydia. Do you remember me?
Well, I only know one Lydia, so certainly I do. It's good to hear you, and I remember you. I followed you for decades. I mean, maybe you followed me, too.
But yes, I followed you, but I just wanted
my eyes.
To call. Yeah, I just wanted to call and say how wonderful it is to hear you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's very nice, Lydia.
It brings back a lot of happy memories, and you're doing well, and Joe, your husband, too, and your son.
We both are. And yourself, Lydia.
I
know you're
okay.
Doing well. You're listening
fine.
To GN.
I when I heard the commercial that you were going to be on, I was like, yes, I couldn't believe it.
Lydia, did you have a favorite song?
I used to love when you played Run Around Sue.
That was
now. Why would you play Run Around Sue? What was the what was the reason? There had to be a reason.
Well, that was one song that Harry seemed to enjoy and dancing.
Oh, Harry Carey.
So, yes, we'd play it right. I'd play it right after singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game" when the fans were still up and the mood was right. And I'd look up there, and if they seemed to be ready to dance, we'd play that. And it was something that fans seem to sing along to the whoa part.
But let's get to the history-making iconic moment okay, that everybody copied eventually. And this is to play a song that has something to do with what's happening on the field specifically. And if it's a visiting ball player, there's usually some sort of joke attached to it. And when a pitcher was relieved, suddenly we hear "Na Na Hey Hey" from Nancy Faust. How in the world did all of that start?
It was just something I did all along. I guess I was encouraged when I, my second year, listening to the radio broadcast when the organ was located in center field bleachers. I was kind of alone out there, but I listened to broadcast because Harry was so popular, and I thought I could gain some insight into the game. And when he'd say something like, "Oh, listen to the organist, she's playing a I Walk the Line," when somebody's walking to first base or something, he'd bring attention to it. And so then I'd play "I'm Just Wild About Harry." And I mean, so we had this thing that I realized he was tuned into the music, and that is just, that's a dream for a musician, is to be working with people that realize it or that are appreciating it and talking about it.
Well, you
and
know,
Harry, yeah, so I guess I was encouraged by Harry. And then when I was brought in behind home plate, I had, just so many people around me giving me feedback and input.
You were, what, like in the second tier? Because I remember seeing you up there. People could just walk right up to you, and you were very accommodating and chatting and playing requests.
Well, it wasn't until 1972 that there were so many fans. The first few years, I was pretty much alone out in center field bleachers, but I was accessible. And the person responsible for that location of the organ was Bill Veeck, as he hired first organist when he owned the team the first time. And so he hired Shea Torrent back in 1960. And that's where he placed the organ, and that was pretty novel, rather than being isolated in a booth someplace.
Right.
And so that worked to my favor.
How was the decision made, whether it was unconscious or conscious or spontaneous, about this "Na Na Hey Hey" song?
It just it was spontaneous, and you just can't predict something like that. But the it was a time when fans were and coming to the game a lot. It was 1972. Yeah. We had Dick Allen and so on. Well, that was after that. But it was well populated. We were vying for first place with Kansas City, and it was Bill Veeck on the team. Fans were, crazed on weekend nights, and they were just participating with everything I did.
The fans were crazed on weekend nights, huh?
Yeah.
I know what that story is. They certainly were. And there's nothing like a crazed White House. There's nothing like a crazed White Sox fan on a weekend.
Beers were cheap in those days. You know, if there was a home run, they'd just throw a beer. And by the eighth or ninth inning, there were always beer fights on weekends. But regardless, it was a lot of fun. So the atmosphere was right. It was very electric. The Kansas City pulled her pitcher. I happened to play that song. And just the response was something we'd never heard before.
Yeah.
So we just had to stick with it.
No pun intended, you really struck a chord. I mean, holy cow. I mean, it became identified. I mean, I knew the Steam song. It was like, okay, it was an all right tune, one hit wonder or whatever you call it. And then out of nowhere comes this identification with the White Sox. And when somebody from a visiting team didn't do well, hey, here comes "Na Na Hey Hey." I mean, it was everywhere. No, go ahead.
Well, it was among other songs that I played, but none of them ever had a reaction like that.
Yeah.
So once that happened, it was written about the next day, and other teams picked it up. Mercury even presented me with a gold record as they re-released it.
Yes.
So, it really was quite exciting. And then the Grammy Museum asked for it. It's in the Grammy Museum in an exhibit called Music and Baseball. It was there for a year, and now it's a traveling exhibit. So the gold record is in Oklahoma at the Woody Guthrie Museum right now.
Do you know if it's scheduled to come to Chicago?
We're hoping it will. That's part of the plan, because it is a traveling exhibit, and that would be great.
Well, not only that, but here's where it originated. You know?
Well, that's true, but this is an exhibit about music, across the whole country in baseball.
Right.
But that would have a very local flair, that's for
sure. It certainly would. And in this article that I read from ESPN, and I want to give the title again because it's so cool, How Nancy Faust and Her Organ Set the Tone for America's Pastime, there's a letter from President Barack Obama.
Oh, I'm sitting right under it right now.
Congratulating you on your retirement. And in part it says, over the course of your career, you have demonstrated the ability of music to harness the energy of crowd, capture the excitement of a moment, and leave a lasting mark on our memories. That's pretty cool.
Oh, that was the coolest. I think I had to retire to experience a highlight of my career.
Well, he was, and still is, I'm guessing, a White Sox fan, so... he knew what he was talking about as far as your contribution to the game. And there's no other person who has had that kind of contribution to baseball, Nancy. It's just the way it is. You're in there's no one else in your class. I mean, there's Nancy Faust and no one else. I mean, that's who took care of baseball and music over these past decades, and now it's just a something that people assume has always been there, and that's just not the case. But are there still live organists or any kind of live music at ballparks these days?
Canned music did take the place of those few organists that were there, but I think my ability to be able to play just about anything and think of anything with the help of all the fans around me kind of set me apart.
Right.
But for the most part, the canned music was doing what I was doing, but all the parks had the ability to use canned music. And so live music faded away. But there are several organists that are able to play by ear and be spontaneous. And they've risen again, I think, with the help of social media. They're able to text fans and be interactive and keep fans engaged. And it's added a great dimension for those organists that are playing at parks like in Boston, Atlanta, and for the Dodgers. So there are several standouts right now. And they're doing what I did.
Uh-huh. Nancy, thank you so much for being with us. Always a pleasure to talk to you. All the best to you. And I'm going to see what I can do about finding out about this traveling exhibit coming to Chicago. Thanks, Nancy.
Thank you so much. It's been an honor. Thank you.
Well, my pleasure. Nancy Faust, everyone.